Meanwhile, Cletus and Sarah and their men were getting closer to Pueblo, where Angus McDougal had some plans for Smoke Jensen. Sarah was beginning to feel less and less sure that she was doing the right thing. The more she talked to Smoke, the harder it was for her to see him as a cold-blooded killer. In spite of how she'd tricked and betrayed him in order to take him to her father, he seemed to bear her no malice. When she asked him about this, he just shrugged.
I guess I'd probably feel much the same way if I were in your shoes. Matter of fact, I have done pretty much the same thing. The only difference was, I knew I was right, and you don't.
That night, they stopped and fixed camp for the last time. By the end of the next day, Cletus said they'd be at the McDougal Ranch. Exhausted from her ride and her mental battle with herself about the rightness of what she'd done, Sarah flopped down on the ground near the fire and stared into the flames, as if she could find some answers there. Smoke, who was standing a few yards away with his hands tied, glanced her way. His eyes widened, and he took two quick steps and launched himself at her head first. His body slammed into hers, knocking her to the side and almost into the flames. Cletus, seeing this and hearing Sarah's cry of surprise and pain, whipped out his Walker Colt and aimed it at the back of Smoke's head. Before he could pull the trigger, he saw Smoke twist his body around and lift his boots into the air. A dark brown mottled shape flashed into the light and a 5-foot-long timber rattler struck at Smoke's boots, his fangs slashing a double groove in the soles of the shoes. Smoke brought the heels of his boots down hard, smashing the snake in the head and dazing it. Cletus, finally seeing what was going on, stepped over and put a bullet between the snake's eyes, blowing its head off.
What?
Cletus holstered his pistol and moved to her side, helping her to her feet. She leaned over Smoke, looked at the dead snake, and shuddered.
You saved my life.
Nah, probably not. The poor critter was just trying to get to the fire to warm himself up a bit. When it's this cold outside, they can't move very fast.
Hell, boy, he didn't look all that slow when he struck at your boots.
Now that the excitement is over, how about a cup of coffee that's boiling over by the fire?
Cletus nodded and moved over to squat next to the pot and pour a mug. He looked at Sarah, who was standing next to him.
You're right, Missy. That boy did save your life, and at some risk to his own.
I know.
Cletus glanced over his shoulder at Smoke.
You know, Missy, this is the first time in more than 20 years I've been working for your daddy that I feel like he's dead wrong about something.
What are we going to do, Cleet?
I don't know, Missy. I'm afraid we both got some thinking to do on it before we get home tomorrow.
He got slowly to his feet and carried the mug of coffee over and handed it to Smoke, who nodded his thanks.
I want to thank you for what you've done, Jensen.
Sarah means something special to you, doesn't she, Cletus?
I'm her godfather, and I've known her all her life.
Then you're welcome, Cletus.
Later that night, after everyone had eaten and while even the sentries were dozing in their appointed spots, Sarah slipped out of her blankets and crawled over to where Smoke lay curled up next to the coals of the fire. Sometime in the last couple of hours, the lowering clouds had released their burden, and it had begun to snow fairly heavily. Sarah glanced around in the darkness and could see no one stirring. She reached over and nudged Smoke with her hand, holding her finger to her lips when he came instantly awake and stared at her face in the meager light of the coals. Without saying a word, she slipped a clasp knife into his hand. When he raised his eyebrows in question, she pointed toward the nearby mountains, even though they were not visible through the storm. Smoke nodded and eased the knife open. It took him less than 5 seconds to saw through the ropes on his wrists and scramble to his feet. He looked toward the line of horses tied to a rope stretched between two trees, but Sarah saw his glance and shook her head. He shrugged, smiled, and grabbed up his blanket from the ground. throwing it over his shoulders, he waved to her, and seconds later he had disappeared into the billowing white clouds of the snowstorm. Sarah took another look around to make sure no one had seen what she'd done, and then she crawled back to her blankets, mussing the snow behind her to hide her tracks. On the other side of the fire, Cletus shook his head and smiled at her actions. He had never been more proud of her in all the years he'd known her. He lay his head back down on his saddle and pulled the blanket up to his chin. Maybe, with a little luck, Jensen could get to the mountains before daylight, and their moral dilemma would be solved.
Can't kill a man who ain't there.